Welcome back to another episode of Wings Over Water, Creativity and Recovery on City of Angels Recovery Radio. My name is Kathy Moser, and I am both a person in long-term recovery and a lifelong artist. And I am so interested in the different ways that our creativity can impact our recovery and that our recovery can impact our creativity. So this show is an ongoing experiment on that topic. Sometimes we have guests. Sometimes we have topics. This week is a topic week. The topic I want to do an experiment on today is anger. Now, I've heard that anger is a luxury that we cannot afford. I would love to be Zen-like and Buddhist-like, but the truth is that the only way for me to never be angry pretty much is to be high. Stuff happens. It's very challenging getting along with each other. I don't know if you find that, but I definitely find that. People, you know, relationships are really challenging. Work can be very challenging. There's things that happen in the world that are not okay with us. It's just a normal thing, I think, in my opinion, for us to be angry. So then the question becomes, how can we be angry in a good way, in a way that moves our recovery forward, improves our connections with the people that are important to us, and allows us to be fully expressed as artists? Because I believe that, I mean, that's one of the goals for me, is I want to be completely expressed as an artist. I want to be the most excellent, free, creative being that I can be. So I know for myself, before I came into recovery, my relationship with anger was that I thought I wasn't angry. And the truth is, I wasn't angry because I was high. And when I stopped getting high, I had a huge amount of rage in early recovery. So we're going to split the show into two parts. And one part will be kind of talking about what's apt to come up for us in terms of anger in recovery, and what can we do about that in a good way. What tools can we use? What techniques can we use? Like, what can we expect? Also, I think it's super helpful to know what the landscape looks like. Makes you less freaked out when you encounter particular things. Then we're going to switch over and explore a little bit about why being able to be angry in a good way is vital, I believe, for us as creative beings. So that's going to be the experiment today, and I hope you enjoy the ride. We're going to get the party started with one of my favorite artists, Bobby McFerrin, on this song called Angry.
I'm angry. What gets my goat? What gives me pain? Breaks up my crown, fills me with shame. Heats up my blood, drives me insane. Ignore my brothers, they don't treat the same. My mad man. I'm angry. And I'm all wound up and I'm all tied down. Balled up inside and spinning all around. My pain is deep, my hurt is so wide. I hear you crying, freedom, but freedom is denied. I'm mad, 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 I'm mad,
battlefield. Love is a battlefield.
My prejudice is just inane. My brother's blood from the ground cries out. Let's stop this bloodstained freedom shout. My mad. I'm angry. I'm mad. I'm losing my temper. I'm mad. I'm mad. I ain't gonna take it anymore. I'm mad.
So what is anger? Julia Cameron talks about anger being a message from a friend, which would be like your emotional body, your soul or spirit, your being. And it's a message from a friend saying that something needs to change, that something is not okay, and something needs to change. And I think if I can look at anger as just that, it's a message, it's information that something needs to change, then that's pretty helpful. And some of the things that might need to change are, I might need to change the relationship that I'm in, either by becoming a different actor within the relationship, maybe speaking up for myself if I haven't been, or setting boundaries if I haven't been. It may be removing myself from the situation. It may tell me that I need to change my perception, something that is often uncomfortable, and I would rather think that you are wrong than that I need to look at things differently. But I am trying to at least ask myself the question when I'm angry about my own perception of the situation. Would it look different to somebody else? Is there a different way to look at this? Not to deny my own truth, but just to not get caught up in my own drama, to try and have a unbiased view of what's going on, which is so hard, right? So hard. So anger is a message from a friend. One person that was helping me in my recovery said that our emotions are our higher power's way of communicating with us. So if the feeling of anger arises, then we have a couple choices, even though it might not feel like that. For some of us, I know anger feels great. It's an adrenaline rush. It's a high. We feel powerful. We might feel safer when we feel angry than we might, you know, we might be like easier to be angry at someone than to tell them that our feelings are hurt. We need to look at like what we're getting out of being angry. Is it easier to be angry than to be vulnerable? Is it easier to be angry than to be honest? Is it easier to be angry than to apologize? I don't know about you, but I find humans like to be a very, very weird species, and often people do things that just make no sense to me. And so I guess that's another tool too in a situation where there's anger, is to try and at least consider the other person's perspective. Again, it's not denying our own truth, but just to try and see it from their side, because honestly, I've definitely had situations that could have been avoided if I just stopped, checked in with the other person, and really got what their perception was. Maybe they misheard something, they misunderstood something, maybe a message was not communicated, maybe they were reacting to a past event, not a present event. It's always good to be kind of able to check in and have that pause before we completely explode. For some of us, on the other side of it, it's scary to be angry. I know for myself personally, my vision of myself is that I get along with everybody. And I pay a price for that. There's times when it would be just better to be angry and express it in a, you know, a decent way than to walk around pretending it's okay. You know, sometimes I get angry that I'm angry because I don't want to be, because it sort of threatens my identity. So something happened this morning that made that kind of, I knew I was going to do this show on this topic, but then something happened this morning that kind of gave me a little practicing thing, which is that someone was being really disruptive in a space where people were like doing some serious work, and they were just kind of ignoring everybody else and carrying on. And I, uncharacteristically for me, I called them out on it and, you know, said that, like, it wasn't okay with me that they were disrupting the vibe in the room of what was trying to get done there. And I know I said, I prefaced it by saying I sort of feel like, I'm sorry, I'm going to be a, starts with a B, rhymes with rich. And that's the thing right there.
How many times did I not say the thing that I needed to say?
Because I didn't want to be perceived as, like, an angry person or a B rhymes with rich. It's important for me for anger is maybe part of my authenticity and maybe also part of my saying, hey, this is not okay with me. What you're doing is not okay with me. Like, I need to be able to say that, because for myself, and I think others too, is that anger improperly expressed causes trouble that can relate to our recovery. Like, one might be that we're really angry and we don't feel able to speak up for ourselves, and so we end up drinking and drugging because we don't know what else to do with our emotions. That can happen. On the other side, we might get so carried away and drunk on our anger and overreact with our anger that we actually make a bad situation worse, which also may cause us to drink. I've definitely had situations in my distant past where I exploded in anger so inappropriately that the original issue never got resolved because we just got so distracted by my inappropriate response. And I would often end up apologizing for my inappropriate response when actually the original issue never got dealt with. So I had some teachers that really helped me with anger, and they taught me that I was allowed to be angry. And that there were rules for being angry. The first one being that I can't hurt myself or anybody else, which is depressing, right? It's kind of disappointing because sometimes just screaming at someone something really vile just feels like the right thing to do and what needs to happen next. And apparently that's never the spiritual solution. So I can't hurt myself, can't hurt anybody else. I'm not allowed to break anything that's not mine. Also disappointing. And if you are going to break something, try not to break anything expensive, sentimental, valuable, or difficult to replace. You're allowed to be angry. Go. I met a woman who actually bought plates at a garage at garage sales for the express purpose of breaking them on the floor of her garage. She had a 25-cent limit for that which she would spend on a plate that she was going to break in that way. And, you know, if you go out to the garage and break 10 plates on the floor of the garage while screaming all the vile stuff that you don't actually want to say directly to the person, I mean, you do, but it's just not useful. You know, that's like $2.50 later, you come back in the house like a much more reasonable person. Because that's the other thing I want to say about anger, is that it's energy. Anger is energy, and it's got to go somewhere. So what question you might want to ask yourself relevant to your recovery is, what are three healthy things I could do with my anger that will allow me to have my anger, move that energy out, and not threaten my recovery? So, for example, you might beat a pillow instead of a person. You might go out into your car, drive around the block, and shout all the things that you want to say to the person, but would not be actually useful to say to the person. Or a situation or whatever it is. Some people might want to crank up a really loud heavy metal, right? Like a really loud pounding heavy metal kind of vibe just to get that energy out of them. So those are some thoughts on how we can use the energy that anger offers us while also hearing the message that it has for us. Something has to change. What's happening right now is not okay. Something has to change. Either I have to change, my response has to change, the way I allow other people to treat me has to change, the boundaries I'm setting have to change, my perception has to change. Anger is information, and it says something has to change.
with those angry eyes. You won't believe that I am not the same as you. Now I can't conceive, oh Lord, of what it is you're trying to do with those angry eyes. Well, I bet you wish you could cut me down with those angry eyes. What a shot you could be if you could shoot at me with those angry eyes.
That was Loggins and Messina with a song called Angry Eyes, turning their anger not only into a tune, but into money in the bank. Let's continue our experiment to talk about how can anger affect our creativity.
I think this is another spot where, as artists, we have an advantage in recovery because we have a creative outlet where we can actually have a bad day and make something great out of it. I've definitely had that experience in terms of songs where I've been really angry about something and just had a song get born in a pretty short time. I have songs that I've been playing for, golly jeepers, like at least 20 years that came in like a 15-minute period in which I was really, really angry. It's a process, I believe, to learn how to funnel our anger into our creativity. I think one thing is that, you know, every piece that we create may not be a piece that we're going to share in the world. We may, certainly so many positive social movements have happened from artists turning their anger into inspiration for songs, taking our anger at either injustice or being mistreated or life in general, challenges in relationships. It can all be great fuel. And then we can also decide, is this a piece I'm actually going to put out in the world? Do I want to change the names to protect the non-innocent? You know, I know there are people that have written books about family events that they were reluctant to reluctant or unsure about whether to put those books out there or not. Art is powerful, of course, when it tells the truth. And when we tell the truth and we create something that goes out into the world and tells the truth, that can be frightening. It can make people angry at us. It can, you know, draw attention of people that may be angry at you for speaking the truth or saying the truth.
Anger can also become an addiction in its own right.
Angry song after angry song after angry song after angry song. And, you know, for me, that's would not be a concert I would want to go and spend the whole evening at. So just my own personal thoughts on that about, you know, are we going to identify as that's what we do? I think there can also be a lot of anger around the process of putting our work out into the world. Because art, although it is at its deepest sense not competitive, it's absolutely true that the marketplace can feel competitive, can be perceived as competitive. I just played a songwriting contest or a performance contest last week in which I have no idea why the person that won. I don't know what the criteria was because it just did not seem to me that that person had the best songs, the best voice, the best presentation, the best anything, and nevertheless they won. And so what was interesting about that was I was able to be a good sport and like congratulate everybody that won in my non-winningness and be professional in that way. And I also, once I got back out into the car with the friend of mine that went with me, we kind of like discussed how like it really didn't seem understandable or fair or something. It just seemed there was something else at play that was not visible. And here's the other cool thing is because I kind of like worked through all of that, I eventually realized that that's not actually a spot that I need to be in, and that I am like mismatched myself with that space. And I don't think, and I mean, let me just be totally honest with you here. I went to play the open mic as a way of getting booked because I'm scared of just calling the place and trying to get booked. That's the truth. And I realized what I needed to do actually was just call the place and try to get booked. Like, I'm a full-time professional musician, and that's what I need to be doing. And so that is what I did do the next day, was start to initiate that conversation. I took an action yesterday, and I took an action today in terms of getting a slot at that club. So that was kind of interesting, because I think if I just gotten caught up in that anger, I might not have gotten to that spot. And also, if I didn't allow myself to have my actual feelings, oh, it's such a dance, isn't it? Such a dance. If I didn't allow myself to have my actual feelings about it, I also may not have gotten through to the other side, which is, hey, there's a different action that I need to take. So anger and creativity can be a great resource, and creativity can be heartbreaking sometimes if you're trying to do it out there in the world. So figuring out how to have all of our feelings around that. You know, it's interesting. There's a woman out right now. The song was a hit maybe last year or the year before, named Sarah Bareilles. And she was told by her record company that she had to write a love song for the record, because there wasn't a hit on there, because there were no love songs on the record. And she wrote a song in her anger called I'm Not Gonna Write You a Love Song. And it ended up being an enormous hit. Funny, right? I don't even know what to say about that, except that it's kind of delicious that she took this feeling that she had, like, spoke it really, really truthfully, and then actually ended up giving them what they really wanted, which was a hit, you know? But she did it on her own terms, speaking her own truth, and using her anger as a fuel. So, such a balance that we have to walk with it. If we don't have our anger, then we can be depressed, shut down, also not receive the information about what it is that needs to change. I think that's just one other thing I want to mention here about creativity and anger, is that as artists, we definitely end up subjecting ourselves to criticism. In fact, criticism would be another great show topic. That's a good idea, self. Okay. Anyway, I digress. We end up being subject to criticism. So, what I think can happen there is if we get angry when we are criticized, we may miss the information that is available to us inside the criticism. So somebody might have really good information for us. The way they present it to us might be make us angry. Like, I'll just tell you, one of my own sort of humiliating but really, really helpful moments was when I recorded my first record. The engineer at some point in the studio during the process turned to me and said, he said, you write really great songs. It's too bad you can't sing. And I went and got a voice coach and took voice lessons for years. And I will tell you that nobody says that to me now. So there was great information inside of that somewhat, I don't know, it was a blunt object. That comment was very blunt. So how we handle criticism and how we handle our anger around criticism can be important too. How we handle our feelings about what people say about what we do. you know, to not let the anger either cause you to destroy a relationship. It's another thing, at least in the music business, there's so much about relationships. So one of my options last week was to storm out of this club and say, like, the heck with this, I'm never coming back here. But that does not serve me. It doesn't serve me. I mean, it might feel good in the moment, but it definitely doesn't serve me. And cutting people off and cutting situations out just very knee-jerk-wise is old behavior for me. That's something I did a lot in my addiction. I try not to do that now. And the way the situation is right now, you know, the way a situation is, if things are not going well, cutting does not mean that that's what's going to happen. You know, that's the end of the story. Oh gosh, I do have one more thing to say about anger, is that somebody said to me, conflict is an opportunity to gain more information and to invest in the relationship. So that's another reason that when upsets occur, that if we can pause, if we can allow ourselves to have our anger in a non-destructive way, we can listen for the information that's coming both from us and the situation and look at what needs to change. Is it us? Is it our perception? Is it the way we're being treated? Is it the way we're responding? And figure out what needs to change. Then what can happen is that conflict can become this thing that actually makes the relationship deeper, whatever it is, personal or professional or artistic. Okay, golly jeepers, I hope that was helpful. That was a lot of information. It's Kathy Moser signing off for City of Angels Recovery Radio. Once again, back behind the wheel of my trusty Penelope, driving on the way to another gig. So I keep bringing you shows from behind the wheel of my little purple car. Hopefully the sound quality is good for you. And I hope you have a great week in which you listen to what your anger may be telling you and you are able to use that in a good way to move your life, your creativity, and your recovery forward.
Together it'll fall.